sent the good, so I had to flood the hood. The plug sent the bad, and I off that too. That made me a bigger asset to the plug. But tell me how you
feel. A-League show back in full effect. How's everybody doing out there?
Key, what's happening, man?
It is good. What we up to,
it's
Eric?
It's been a minute.
We took a week off, man. How y'all? I'm good, man. What's up with y'all?
Keem on the intro. It's been a while.
I know. Tell me about it.
Keem, we happy to hear you, man.
Rashad, absolutely. It's what I'm here for. By the way, speaking of you, Rashad, you've been telling us a lot about a recent picture, photos that have been, you know, that have been going around involving one... whom was it again?
Hey, man. Right now, I'm just focused on the finals. You know what I'm saying? I'm really just focused on, you know, working. And that's all I'm focused on. I'm focused on the work right now.
This dude's on trials.
What do you feel like you had to do to improve your defense in game two?
Well, you know, it's kind of tough because, you know, once you have a cross-country trip like that from Georgia to California, it's kind of tough to hold your own fort. But I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we'll find our way to get the W.
Dude, I mean, the people listening are like, wait, what's going on? Y'all gonna figure it out. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
Y'all gonna
absolutely.
Figure it out.
They'll find out sooner than later exactly what you up to. But yeah, we back in full effect. Absolutely. Got Eric, got Rashad, of course, I'm Akeem, and got David up in here. Jeremy, of course, unfortunately couldn't make it. He's at a little bit of function again.
He's at a wedding, right?
At a wedding, something like that.
Okay. Shout out to Jeremy, man.
Shout out to weddings.
You up next?
You like, damn, yeah.
Oy vey. I guess so, pretty much. but yeah, it's been good. Had a week off, but now we back.
We back, baby.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, real quick. We appreciate everybody who was who's been giving us some love, man. For the last couple podcasts or whatever, just the podcast period, like the reviews and people saying they would, they do want to listen and have subscribed and enjoy listening or whatever. Like, we appreciate y'all, man. That's dope. And just the last interview alone. Once again, shout out to Craig Hodges. That was fun.
Shout out to Rap Snacks.
And Rap Snacks, man.
Y'all need to pay us.
That's real though. Like,
I need that check, Rap Snacks. I need that check.
Hungry, we need that money.
That boy hungry. Real Rap Snacks. We made y'all poppin'. All right, what's up? Hit us up, Twitter, A-League1. That's our Twitter. Hit us up, man.
Absolutely. We gave y'all some love.
We did give them a lot of love.
We gave y'all a lot of love.
That was the worst ones. Well, okay, wait. The worst ones, though. What was the worst chips we had?
The Fetty Wops.
Fetty Wops.
Dang.
And the best ones were the Gavin Ranch.
Fetty Wops.
If we want a sponsorship, should we really be saying who's
the worst? But we're trying to help them improve. The other ones were good, but that was a bad one.
Well, work on the Fetty Wops.
Yeah, work on the Fetty Wops. That's all we're trying to do.
Work on the Fetty Wops and sign us to a deal, and then we can keep going and progressing as business partners, Rap Snacks.
You clean that up nice.
Sounds like a plan.
Nice.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan.
I think they just mean they want the bags to be bigger. They mean it tastes better.
That's it. If the bags to be bigger.
Yeah, you know these. You know how it is. You know, like, there's a lot of air in these potato chip bags.
There is, man. What's up with that? They're cutting it short. The first one.
With a dabber ranch.
Let's get into it with the Hawks, though, man. First one. Let's run that Hawks. We introduced our GM, Travis Schlenk, yesterday. 17th GM in the history of the Hawks.
Who?
Travis Schlenk.
Who?
Travis Schlenk. Run that.
I think should be. We've tried to win every year. But there's no doubt that over the past 2 years, what we've seen and what I've said is the goal is how do we make better decisions? How do we have more firepower in the front office with that, if you will, comfort level that we could get to the next level? I think, and we felt, that Travis absolutely has that understanding, has seen it firsthand, and I'd say as importantly, and we've now seen this firsthand and have learned it in our reference checks, Travis understands every part and does the work. Understanding players and recruiting players and understanding what makes a franchise player friendly, all of these are critically important for us. And we met a whole lot of folks that seem to have strengths in one of those areas. Maybe in recruiting, maybe in evaluating player personnel, maybe in understanding an organization, maybe in understanding what a championship is. With a championship background. But we didn't find folks, any individual that we felt offered all of the above. until we ran into Travis and spent real time with him. So
front office of Golden State to where we are right now, or where they are right now in Golden State, 7 years. So it's not a quick process. You know, it takes time. And the way you get there is by maintaining your flexibility, accumulating assets, and developing your own talent. As Tony said earlier, we have in Coach Bud and his staff a great group of coaches who've done a great job historically of developing talents. So we're in great shape there. We have 11 draft picks coming up in the future, so we have flexibility and assets there. So we're actually in a better place right now than Golden State was when I started there. Now, that doesn't mean that we can get there, you know, in 7 years, but we're at a good place to start building for the future right now. As far as the players on the roster right now, we have a good team here. For 10 years in a row, this franchise has been in the playoffs, so we're fortunate. Most of the time when guys take a job at my level, they're getting bad teams. I'm inheriting a good team with a nice foundation that has some flexibility, and that's what we're going to look to maintain. And as we get to a position where a trade or an acquisition comes available for a superstar, we're going to be in position to do that. Even in Golden State early, you know, we had Joe who wanted to go out there, wanted to show. I don't think it makes sense for a franchise to go into the tax unless you're competing for a championship. To go into the tax to try to get, you know, to 8-7 seed, to me, you know, being fiscally responsible with these gentlemen's money, that's not right. But if we're there where, you know, we make a move, but it's going to put us in the tax by a few $1 million, but it's going to give us a better chance to win a championship, that's when I'll go to bat and I'll be knocking on Tony's door and I'll say, listen, this is something we need to do because it's going to get us to where we want to go. But until we get to that level, I can't sit here and say it's a smart business decision to go into the tax.
There's a lot of stuff in there. That's Travis Schlenk, Atlanta Hawks, new GM, introduced him yesterday, Friday, at Phillips Arena. A lot of excitement around him coming from Golden State and whatnot. He spent the last 5 years as assistant general manager, so he's got a lot of pedigree. So what? Everybody's excited about him being here, a new era in Hawks basketball. What do you guys feel from what he was saying yesterday to things you were hearing? Do you guys does he give you any kind of hope for a completely new change, innovative way of this Hawks team taking us to the next level?
He sounds like he's about to take us into a rebuild. And then the whole thing about not wanting to go into the luxury tax, it sounds like, you know, he's willing to not bring back either Hardaway or Millsap. I guess that's a positive, but
yeah.
I mean, the whole, you know, superstar, you can acquire a superstar and you have assets. And, you know, I've heard that story a billion times before, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, what are you going to, how are you going to do it? You know, that was a big thing when certain people were on the presidential campaign last year. They were saying, I'm going to do this. And
shots.
People were like, how are you going to do it? So, you know, I mean, it's yet to be seen, like, how he's going to do it. But, yeah, it sounds like we're about to go into a rebuild.
A rebuild. Mm-hmm. What you think, David?
I mean, it's definitely refreshing to hear a different voice, someone separate from, you know, the Spurs regime. You know, it's just like for the past couple months, you know, we've heard about Ressler, you know, like, and, you know, and the Hawks management, somebody like, we're gonna try to keep the team together. You know, we won't set back bad. You know, we won't bring Tim Hardaway back. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, like, if you bring that team back together, first round, second round team. And, you know, just looking at it now, you know, it's this a new guy with a different way of thinking, a different way of management. He's just like, that's not going to cut it. And I like to hear that because it's just like, you know, I understand how some people say, like, you know, Millsap leads the team, it's a lottery team. But at the same time, you know, this guy's 32 years old, locked this dude up. You know, he's only going to get worse. And, you know, you got a weird team. You got three young guys on the wing, and then you got two older guys in your front court. And it's just like something got to give because, like, you're going to, you know, give these guys, the vets, you know, start dealing these young guys for for picks, you know, for veterans to get these veterans to win, or are you going to go young? It's just like you can't go in between. But, you know, I'm definitely glad to hear a different voice. You know, it's you know, hopefully, you know, he's different from Ferry. You know, he has a long-term plan because, you know, like, you know, Ferry, you know, he came in with, you know, a good approach, you know, talks about flexibility and, you know, bad contracts and all that type of stuff. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he has long, you know, because, you know, he's dealing, you know, with...
he mentioned the same thing, though, too. Like, yeah. Sorry, the flexibility thing. But, yeah, that was similar, yeah.
It's like with Atlanta, you know, just it's different, you know, just it's kind of like a similar situation, actually, because, you know, you have bad contract stuff. So it's just, and I'm very curious to see, like, what happens going forward.
I think that as far as Schlenk goes, whenever you hear someone that's either from, like David was saying, either the San Antonio or in this case, Golden State, it automatically is going to get the ears and eyes of a lot of fans, because automatically people are going to be thinking, okay, you know, we're going to be, you know, the next Golden State. And obviously, of course, as we've seen time and time again throughout the NBA and throughout all sports, just because you get someone who was, you know, who had success at one team doesn't necessarily mean that they'll have success at another. So as Rashad said, it does sound like that they're about to start to take the Hawks into you know, into a rebuild. And I think it's also, you know, very curious that, you know, they mentioned all those draft picks. It would be interesting to see which one of those, you know, how many of those draft picks actually turn out to be like real productive players, and which ones, you know, end up just being busts. Because, you know, they can rebuild through the draft all they want, but eventually they're going to have to sign free agents. They're going to have to make trades. And in order to do that, in order to get those free agents, those big free agents in the future, if they want to sign someone in the future like a Russell Westbrook, they're going to have to convince them, someone of that caliber, of that stature within the NBA, to actually want to play in Atlanta. They were able to do it with Dwight Howard because he, you know, he's from here. But as far as actually doing it throughout the NBA, it's much harder to do, especially going into a conference where, must I mention once again, as I've mentioned on previous shows, LeBron James is still in the East.
Yes.
Thank you for the reminder. I just can't stand, you know, they keep talking about three picks, but those picks aren't really that good. You know, you look at it, it was 2019 Cleveland first round pick.
Yeah.
That's gonna be like 30th pick. And then you have the 2018 Minnesota pick.
Second round.
Yeah, and just like they should be a playoff team, or it's gonna be like 15 at worst.
Yeah. No. They're not.
Yo, I'm chirping, but like, didn't the Hawks get a Cleveland pick or a Miami pick from when LeBron went back to Cleveland? I was thinking about this yesterday and I didn't look it up to confirm it.
Boston did? Yeah, Boston got it. And they had to get rid of Jarrett Jack and Tyler Zeller to clear up for LeBron.
Because it was really weird. I remember something, like, it was a third team involved, and I thought it was the Hawks.
From last year or what? From
No, from 2014.
From 2014.
When LeBron went back, I thought the Hawks were in that trade.
Oh, no, it was Boston. And Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn was involved, too. But
yeah, it was a bunch of random teams.
But nah, he sounds... the first he looked pretty damn nervous, which was expected, because I think at the same time he looks excited for the job, and that's what we kind of want, somebody to be here that's excited to make a change here in Atlanta. At the same time, I do see the rebuild talk a little bit there, but and they've tried to stay away from a complete rebuild. I think we've mentioned in so many podcasts before that they're trying to stay afloat. Be competitive, yet, like, obviously the last 10 years been in the playoffs, but they're trying to stay competitive and as well as get younger, and that's a tough thing to really do. And I think that's why we know this summer here is like pretty much once again another one of the most important free agencies for in Hawks history, because what are they going to do with Paul? Pretty indicative of just what's going to happen next couple years. You have some good pieces here or whatnot to see what he can do. The flexibility, he said flexibility like so many times, 10 times in the whole thing. And I at least can appreciate there's a room, there's a space here for them to really operate, at least. You know, like compared to a couple years ago, you felt tied down. Obviously, you signed Paul, you won't have that much space to. Doesn't he get, Paul gets 30% of the cap, right?
Yeah, it's 35 million a year.
35, yeah, so you can't, if you do that, we pretty much, you're making a decision on what's going to happen for the next couple years or whatnot. But I am excited about it. It doesn't mean it's going to be a quick change, as you mentioned. It doesn't mean in the next couple of years, we'll be in the NBA Finals.
What?
I'm sorry, Rashad. It's
so if we
not
bring
happen.
Someone from Golden State, you mean we won't win a championship in the
Rashad.
Next 3 years?
I'm sorry, Rashad.
Much to your chagrin, Rashad.
I'm sorry, Rashad.
Do you think we can bring Steph Curry in this summer?
I think so.
Get it? Reunite him with Baze in the backcourt?
I think Steph Curry's coming to Atlanta. Actually, I have a good source from Chris Broussard to say he's coming to Atlanta.
Hashtag Stephen Bays. We're going to get 17.
Stephen Bays. Shout out to Steph, man. I'm excited, though.
Going back to David's point, when he was saying, you know, the draft picks that they were getting aren't that good, you know, he said at best 15, 14. Yeah. Those are where the best players are coming from. Giannis and Draymond, who was a second round pick. Like, the best guys don't go in the top 10 anymore.
You're going to find gems. You're going to find a lot of gems in the late first round and second round. I completely understand.
Unfortunately, the Hawks don't draft like that.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, there are plenty of good players, but we just don't draft well. Like you just said, so it's like they're there. You just got to be able to actually get it. Yeah, now we got to give Travis a chance. He has a short time to just window here to get everything situated and figure out what's going on with the team. But I don't know what position he's going. I wish that would have been a question yesterday. What position are you guys looking, you know, to? Because nobody asked that.
Well, I mean, but he doesn't even know the team.
He knows the team.
Nah, man. No. Did you hear that press? It sounded like he just Googled the Hawks.
No, I know. He did just like hit us up. Like
We did make the playoffs 10 years in a row.
I think. He said, I think. Yeah.
Dwight Howard averaged 13-13 last year.
You can ask for the needs.
Yes.
He's so busy with Golden State.
He didn't ask. Did he talk about Dwight? Did he say
Dwight? He said Dwight could still be a contributor. He's one of the best big in the league.
He averaged 13-13 last year. He wanted to talk to him face-to-face. Man. He doesn't want to go off what everybody else been saying about him.
Man, so they only talked during text message.
Yeah.
And that goes to with Golden State. He's been winning championships or competing for championships.
They have. I mean, the thing is, at least he's coming to a team that there's not a lot of drama. We don't have any drama here. So there's nothing for him to fix for as far as, like, culture goes and everything. Everything I think in Atlanta is it's like, capable of becoming something special. Like, there's not a lot of drama here. But to get people – his job, he's going to realize when he gets to Atlanta, is getting people, galvanizing people, fans, and becoming real, like, a lot more passionate and consistently passionate about the Hawks.
It is,
obviously not you, Rashad. I know what you're going to say,
Trade for Klay Thompson?
No, I'm not going to say that. But the fans, because we get on the fans all the time, but I think he'll realize that's another part of this job. It's not just basketball. He's going to have to realize just about the community itself, Atlanta. It's an interesting place to be a GM. It's just an interesting place to be a coach, player, and all that. So
absolutely.
He'll realize that.
Yeah, the Hawks need to trade for Mike Vick.
They're going
to
cling on to every single word he said. You know, just like last week, he talked about, you know, finding a Steph Curry, a Klay Thompson, and a Draymond. Just like, you know, do you think this is such a current personnel? Do you think this is something that you're going to find in the draft? Or what do you see in these guys right now? Because they obviously have different skill sets. Like, Dennis is nowhere near Steph Curry. They're two different players. And Hardaway, you know, he's definitely not with Klay Thompson. And you know,
just trade for Klay Thompson.
Klay's chilling right now. Klay's just playing defense. I don't know why he's even shooting. He's just out there playing defense. He's been shucking it up, boy.
Yeah, he's been shutting down Kyrie.
Golly. That's what happens when you have no bridge, man, on your nose.
That is an interesting point that you just mentioned about the fans. I wonder exactly, you know, given the tenor around the team and given the overall tenor around the team in terms of fans, how much time do you think that fans are going to give Travis Schlenk? Like, are they going to give him, like, say, 4 years to turn it around?
Are people impatient in Atlanta?
3 months.
Are people impatient in Atlanta?
3 months.
Are you impatient in Atlanta? Or you think that?
I mean, it's Atlanta.
I don't think people are impatient.
I mean, we're not New York.
We're not impatient. If you understand the team and what's the history, I don't think you should be.
If you understand the history, then you'll be like, okay, a couple years.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
but if you're trying to become a Hawks fan and trying to believe in them now, they'll give them one offseason.
That's real.
And then head back to LeBron.
This definitely isn't Boston, you know.
Or New York, or they want you to win at the snap of a finger.
It's not going to be like that. So he'll probably enjoy that.
True.
That it's not like that, but he seems like a good. Obviously, he has no choice. Give him a chance. See what he can do.
A lot less media in Atlanta too than in the Bay Area.
Oh yeah.
I mean, with attendance and stuff, you know, you really got nowhere to go but up.
But up. Finished. I think
But
the funny thing is, even our 60-win season, we were still only like 15 or 16. Let me see.
They might have been in the 20s.
Well, in our 60-win season?
Yep.
Let me see. I thought it was even.
I guess no Philly games kind of hurt them. They play a lot of.
Philly games, man. It's just. I don't know what it is, honestly. Because they only played Philly, what, twice? at home. They only play Philly twice at home, and they play Phoenix once at home. Those are the worst games, Philly and Phoenix.
We have yet to, you know who we have yet to play Embiid here? We haven't seen Embiid here.
He hasn't played in Atlanta. Yeah, he doesn't play.
Yeah, he hasn't played in Atlanta because every time we were supposed to play, he's hurt. Yeah, he's
right.
Hurt.
No, or he took a day. Or he took take a day off because he's getting back back into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to see. Y'all
think he was really hurt?
No.
Wait.
At the end of the year?
Oh no, yeah.
I mean, they shut him down.
They're trying to get a higher pick.
Trust the process.
Shout out to Bleacher Report on that.
I apologize.
Shout out to Bleacher Report, man. They did they nailed that with him.
Hanky did a great job with that that Rondo trade, you know, getting that done, you know, clearing that space up and taking the Kings pick in 2019, then got the pick swap this year because their pick wasn't third overall. That was Sacramento's pick they got.
Oh, really? So that's why they got the fifth?
Yeah, Philly had the fifth pick. Yeah, okay. You know, because of that trade to clear space to sign Rondo, they got a pick swap. So now they got the Kings pick in 2019. So I was just like,
wow. What a move by the Kings.
I think that 60-win season was probably one of those things they were probably unused to. You know, we're probably unused to that around here. So if it was one of those issues where we was winning 60 games on a consistent basis, then I can
at least 50.
Right. Or even 50.
Oh, yeah, I would hate that. Last season, we were 26 in attendance. Season before that, we were 23rd in attendance. That 60-win season, we were 17. See, yeah.
17.
I remember. Yeah, it was like
we were out of 20.
Top 20.
Top 20. So top 20. It took a 60-win season just to get in the top 20.
It took a 19-game winning streak.
Jesus Christ. But the thing was that during that season, kudos, we had it sold out, even like actually sold out, not just reported sold out. Like even during, like you said, Philly games and whatnot, like there were games that were just like against lower ranked teams. Yeah, during the winning streak. And people were still coming. So shout out to that season.
Live. That It'll was never live. Be like that again.
It'll never be that lit. And Travis, you got to make it lit again.
Absolutely. And I think that's also another great point because not only is he coming from, you know, from Golden State to Atlanta, did you see how lit they get at the Oracle Arena?
They've always been
hella loud. Yeah. And I'm using San Francisco slang right now to describe them.
Beat them.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's like they get hyped. And I feel like one of the things that that Schlenk has to do, build a team to recreate that, dare I say, Golden State atmosphere.
Because I think Phillips can get the loudest it was this season was, I would say, I guess, the Cleveland comeback.
I wasn't at the Cleveland comeback, but I just watched a video this morning, ironically.
Cleveland comeback was ridiculous in there. I think that was the loudest. And then also
San Antonio.
That was
crazy.
That was crazy in there. And then the quadruple overtime, but it was for a different reason. There's a lot of New York fans in there. So
I was in the office.
Oh, yeah, a lot of New York transplants here.
I was in the office for that game and the Cleveland game.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought you was there with me.
Yeah, shout out to the
signal. I thought I was talking to you the whole time, man.
That's
where I was shot next to me the whole time.
That's not much of a joke. Yeah, I was surprised that it would be lit for that New York game.
Talking to somebody close by you. Can you imagine it?
Rashad's fake body double, Tashad. It's just he was sitting there the whole time. I was like, okay.
Tashad.
I was like, another Tashad overtime? Choice. It's crazy.
Tashad Tilligan. We're going to talk about this. Bob, what was it? The comments that Bob Ryan made, too. We got to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Geezer.
Yeah, that dude washed.
he been covering the Celtics since like 1969.
Dog.
And he still couldn't get the top five right. Like his top five was way off, and he was like, easily. And then I was like, dude, the top five, no.
Yeah, nah, he's... What is wrong with him? That was unnecessary. Anyway, around the horn, right? It was on around the horn. Right.
Yeah, he's a regular on around the horn.
Yeah,
he called Dwight Howard the biggest waste of space. I'm like, dude, Kwame Brown, and that Kristic or whatever.
Yeah, there's
a bunch of them. Man.
What about Oliver Candy? Remember him?
Oh yeah.
Like so many dudes that are washed.
Yeah,
I'm like,
my one pick.
It's like, come
Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic, dude. There's a lot of wasted. Like, come on, man. And the same week that happened,
Hashim the beat.
Oh man, wow.
I can't lie and say I thought he was gonna be the truth.
Me too.
So, I thought he was gonna be nice. I was
people were really debating Emeka Okafor or Dwight Howard.
Yo, that was a debate.
Emeka Okafor is thinking about a comeback.
Emeka Okafor is so under the radar as far as like the blasphemy and just trash what? He should be getting.
Oh, you think he doesn't get trashed enough?
He doesn't get trashed.
Yeah, no. Nah.
And then everybody wants to talk about Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard carried his team to the finals. Dwight Howard had 41 points and 19 rebounds in the finals.
Here we
game.
Go. Here you go. Go ahead. Go ahead,
Dwight Howard is one of the greatest centers.
Go ahead. He's say the third one. I know you're about to
top
say
top 10 center of all time. And he's a Hall of Famer.
One more.
What? He's a 3-time defensive player of the year.
And then keep going.
And an 8-time All-Star.
One more. I see you, boy. Go ahead.
Howard, he's the only player that has proven in the East that he can beat LeBron James.
Now, you can get away with this. This is episode because we ain't got Jeremy here.
I'm going to reply as me or reply as Jeremy.
Damn, there's so many we could go here. You can do both if you want, man. I don't. Go ahead.
Dwight Howard is not a Hall of Famer.
Jeremy, what's up? We about to go ahead.
I'm jamming right now. Shot. Who?
That's it, dog. Look,
Dwight Howard. Who?
I don't hate Dwight Howard, dog. I don't hate Dwight. I don't understand the hate he gets nationally. I don't have a problem with him. He's done nothing wrong to Atlanta fans this year, so I'm not mad at him at all. The whole time. What do we say? He kept his composure all year.
Yeah.
He didn't lash out anybody. He didn't fight nobody in the locker room. He didn't divide the locker room. He was just chilling. He didn't say anything wrong, and then he still gets flagged. That's how I know he just can't win. He's burned so many bridges, I guess, in the past, and now people are just trying to get on him till they ride him out the league. But I don't have a problem with Dwight. I just don't see the big deal. Like, I look at him, like, I don't see why people hate this dude. Like, I can't put it together of what he does. He's a big kid. He's a big kid who likes to just enjoy being around people. He likes to be liked. He all that good stuff. He's pretty much LeBron in a way when it comes to that. They like to be liked. They're on that. I get that. But at the same time, I don't hate him like that much. He's just Dwight. He's Dwight, man. I just don't get it, man. I don't know. That's me. I don't look as hard as him as people. There's other players that I've hated a lot more than Dwight Howard. I'll say that.
That's unrealistic expectations. They just expect him to, they expect him to be the next Shaq. And yeah. It's just like, he's not Shaq.
Ever.
Never been. It's just like, great defensive player. That happened to scores.
You think that would be, okay, you think when he's done, that would be his, like, that'll be what he's remembered as. He'll be remembered as a great defensive player.
No.
Okay. He'll be remembered as the guy who just fell apart.
Okay. Injuries.
The Shaq wannabe.
The Shaq wannabe.
Little Shaq.
I don't know if I'm gonna be blasphemous here, but if he's any comparison to be realistic, who else? If we could take Shaq away, who else would he be compared to? Like, is he more of a Bill Russell? No.
I don't think that'll be.
Because Bill wasn't an offensive, like, if you look at Bill Russell's stats, he wasn't, like, just killing offensively all the time. He was a defensive guy, primarily. So, is he more like Bill Russell, honestly?
Dwight was such a weird specimen. There's no one that will ever be like Dwight Howard again in the league.
Yeah, Dwight's real athletic.
Maybe JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee! Because you're talking about an athletic guy that does great on defense.
I feel like but he's better than JaVale. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah, I thought you were just like.
I mean, Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, prime Mutombo.
He's a better Mutombo. Is that what you're saying?
A prime Mutombo.
Damn.
Mutombo wasn't half as athletic as Dwight Howard. Don't do that.
I'm not sure.
The Kimba can never score 41 points in a finals game.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Yeah, you're right, Rashad.
Come on, man.
You're right, Rashad.
I can't act like it didn't happen. Like it happened.
I know you're gonna stick up for your boy. I'm just saying, it did happen. He scored 40. He dominated 41. The league, but 41. I'm sorry. He dominated the league for a good period. The problem was the time he was supposed to be dominating the league. LeBron was dominating the league still, right? So I think that's another thing. Was at the end of the day,
he beat LeBron
for everything.
Just in case y'all forgot.
A lot of people forgot.
Yeah, I forgot. But. Anyway, no, but like the point was when LeBron was doing his thing, arising, becoming the king, becoming who he was, a lot of people felt like Dwight should have been honestly leading, having the torch in the lead because he was unguardable. He was too strong for everybody's position. He was too fast, too quick for all the big men that was guarding him. He honestly should have been the best player in the league, I think, for a good at least 3 or 4 years before all the injuries happened. I would say, and it just never happened. I don't, for whatever reason, because everybody was waiting on the post moves that he was scared to use. I get that, but I knew there was a period of time that I felt Dwight should have been the best, and that's just not no hate on. It's nothing against LeBron or anything, but Dwight was just a physical specimen that, like, yo, like Rashad kind of said it, like we've never seen before.
I think basketball traditionalists were expecting Dwight Howard to be the best player because for much of the history of the NBA, it has been dominated for the most part by big men.
Yeah.
But now we're in a new era where it's much faster, it's much smaller, and now it's a point guard driven league.
Yeah.
So I think that also has a lot to do with some of the, you know, with some of the flack he gets nationally.
Yeah.
He looks just the fact the positions that he put himself in, like, you know, he went to Orlando then went to L.A. Those, you know, those two locations go hand in hand. It was like, you go to L.A., you're from Orlando, you got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the Shaq comparisons came.
And then, you leave, you know, Andrew Bynum gets traded. You supposed to step in and be the man. You know, that's one thing about L.A. You know, they also had great big men. You know, there's just, you know, you look at, like, you know, the list goes on. Kareem, Shaq. You know, all of them, they went on to win championships. And then, you know, you go to Houston, another place with good big man history, and he didn't do it over there. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, you know, like, dang, you know, now you go to Atlanta, and it's like nobody cares.
Yep.
Dwight Howard has more 15-point and 20-rebound games since he came into the NBA than the next three closest players combined.
We leave on that note.
That's Andre Drummond, Kevin Love, and DeAndre Jordan.
Boom. Our next topic here, let's get to LeBron James and the comments he made this week after his property was vandalized by some hoodlums.
No matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, you know, being black in America is tough.
I believe that's why, you know, women like Emmett Till's mom left the casket open and showed everybody in the world what her son went through because of hate, you know. So, you know, I look at it and it hurts, and it's like unfortunate, and I got to sit here and I got to talk to my kids about what it means to grow up being an African-American, a black kid in America. If that can shed light on the whole situation and we can continue the conversation. Because no matter how much money you got, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, at the end of the day, being a black man in America is very frightening, and it lets us know that we got so much further to go to be equal in this country.
Did anybody have a problem with the Emmett Till reference?
First thing I want to say, Dwight Howard never had 41 points in the finals.
Okay. Oh, you said in the finals.
He never had 41. Okay. He probably did in the Eastern Conference, but he didn't. I just want to clear that up.
Cool.
So people won't hit us in the comments. Oh, you never had one. All right.
Stay out of here.
But Emmett Till reference, I didn't have a problem with it because it's the way he referenced it. He was referencing the Emmett Till thing to his mother chose to have an open casket to show people the pain. You know, to show the world, you know, the reality of being a black person in America. So he was saying, if you gotta spray paint the N-word with a hard R all over, you know, the biggest, you know, second biggest superstar athlete in the world right now, his house, then, you know what I'm saying?
Then
that shows the world, da 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 da, you know what I'm saying? Just like Emmett Till.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, it caught my surprise. So, you know, just like, you know, that's a reference. You know, it's a pretty bad accident, you know, incident that happened with Emmett Till, and it's just like, you know, already, you know, you just don't, you know. I remember just a couple years back, you know, like, you know, Future and Lil Wayne used that reference in a song and stuff. And
just like,
it's just Lil Wayne did. Future didn't say
that. Lil Wayne did that. You're right.
And it's like, I would just say to leave that separate, just because it's just like, you know, that's a whole different thing. If you think back to the backstory, you know, because I can imagine, you know, I don't even know if that's still in the history books, you know, just like, you know.
Barely.
And it's just, you know, that's just something you just got to be careful about using. I just felt like he could better illustrate his message around, you know, his racial point without using that reference.
It's extremely tough to articulate how LeBron James articulated that. It's extremely difficult. For a superstar athlete, that's the best answer you could possibly ask for. So to criticize what LeBron said and said it could have been better. He could have. You can't. That's as good as it gets, in my opinion.
You think there was no other?
I digress.
You digress. So you guys disagree on that. You think there was another outlet, or you think that was Emmett Till? You feel like Emmett Till is more of a what happened? That background of the story, all that it takes, all that it brings up, all the emotion it brings up within Black people. You think it's too severe? It's too severe to bring up. It's too heart wrenching and whatnot to bring up that to compare it to this. You think it's just a little bit? It's a little bit beyond what he should have done.
Yeah, just
and Rashad,
like,
you feel the opposite. Obviously, you feel like it's needed.
It just, you know, because some people look at it and just be like, you know, did somebody get hurt? Did somebody, you know, did somebody get hurt? Did something similar happen regarding what caused the incident and stuff? And it's just like, you know, Emmett Till, because I would just hate for this to just be, you know, somebody, some other athlete uses this and stuff in terms of their race and stuff. And, you know, it's just.
When I first heard him say it, I was a tad bit surprised too at the reference. Not because I know LeBron's a pretty educated guy, and he keeps himself in the loop, tries to make sure that he's standing up for the people who are not in his position. So that's the other, you know, whatever African American community just without throughout the United States. I think the flack he got. I think people kind of missed the point on that end, that it wasn't just about him, that it was about, he mentioned his kids and his wife and all that, and some people said that was overdramatic. Some people said that it was, that there's nobody, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but you know who I'm talking about, who said that it wasn't, nobody physically got hurt, and that for him to bring up racism, this isn't
all
this isn't racist.
All he needs to comment on is snacks.
And we, exactly. You know who you are, boy. Looking like a sack of groceries. So that dude who said that about LeBron James, my problem with you is, and my problem with him has always been, if it's Kaepernick, if it's LeBron James or whatnot, people get flagged for any Black man in America, a Black woman in America, Black man in America, who are continually, like, constantly reminding us the state of the country. If you don't feel comfortable. If you do feel comfortable, then the whole point of what LeBron did and the point of Kaepernick's doing is to make you feel uncomfortable, because there's a whole side of America who is not being able to enjoy the luxuries that you do every day. So people need to understand that in itself, that this is, no matter how much money he has, and let's talk about that now, it's just money and racism, Rashad, that was good as far as bringing that up, does it still matter? Or was it David? Was it? I don't know which one you guys brought up. But it was a good question. Is it money? There's money and racism. If you get reach a certain amount of platform, some amount of money, does racism ever? Okay. Does that affect you in any way now? Does Oprah face racism anymore? Does all these athletes and singers and entertainers and doctors, do they still face racism even if they making this amount of money a year? Y'all feel like it still matters? If not even matters, I'm sorry. But do you feel like it's it should be labeled as racism, even if they do have a higher economic status.
Well, first going back to what were we talking about when we were talking about when they said, well, you might not be facing these problems, but there are people that are facing these problems. And so it's like, well, you are facing these problems. If you think you aren't, you just aren't. You don't realize it.
You're talking
right
to the people who don't.
Eyes.
You're talking to the people who don't.
You just don't realize what you're getting gat.
Yeah.
You're getting gas. So all right, so that take care of that. But you go, David.
I mean, just like racism comes at every level. I just remember, like, a few years ago in Atlanta, you know, Tyler Perry got pulled over, and, you know, he's in a nice car and stuff, and, you know, racial profile while he was driving. You know, just like, he wasn't doing anything wrong and stuff, and it's prevalent. I mean, it's just
It's easy, and it could be hidden. The more money you get, the more it's just hidden, I think, to a degree. And some people, I know Wayne said it, that threw everybody off. Remember a year ago, Wayne came on like Fox and was like, he's like, remember, he said something on along the lines of that he doesn't really see racism and all that, because he has all these white fans who come to his shows and all that and show him love. So he's like, then there's no racism anymore. So, like, for him, as somebody who doesn't understand exactly that, who's kind of a little bit more, and people have stood up for him and said Wayne is kind of in his own world, so he probably doesn't see it. But there are a lot of people who think alike, like Wayne, Black or whatnot, who feel like there's no racism just because you get support from a certain group of people. But yeah, for that in itself, it doesn't matter exactly if it's at your front door. Doesn't matter if it's, you still see the lynchings or all that, whatever. They all come in different, like, just shapes and forms now. That's all racism. That's why you got to weed it out now even more than ever with our generation and whatnot. We have to find different ways to make sure that it's still on the forefront. People are still being exposed about it. That's why we love trying to get him on the show, but that's why we love Sean King and what he does. He gets a lot of flack from probably a certain, the left, right, whatever, people who feel that he's not patriotic. But what he does is patriotic, to continue to call out racism. But when it comes to money, I've never cared if somebody had a lot of money or not. Like Jim Brown and those athletes said that you have more responsibility once you get money to continue like to have that platform and to call out what is not right, you know, call out the injustice and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean LeBron James has done a great job more than I don't know any other modern day athlete, basketball athlete that's done what he's done, but he's continually to call out the injustice in America. He's always stepped in the front. He didn't hide away. He didn't shy away from that press conference. Those lot of things is why I applaud him for that. But I don't, just because he has money, I would have been more critical of him if he didn't say anything, and then it would have shown like because he has money, you know, now he shouldn't talk because he has money, so he's okay. It doesn't affect him. It still affects him, and he has, like you said, he has to talk to his kids about it and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Regardless of how much money they have, they're still going to grow up black in America, so it didn't matter.
And exactly. That's a big
financially
thing about it.
Yeah, finance has never been a problem.
Not everybody going to know who LeBron James Jr. is.
Yeah. Right. Yo, cop, he said he knew. That was right, go ahead.
Yeah, the cop is going to see a little black boy.
True. I remember, it was real quick. It was funny, though, because they were like, he said he didn't want people.
He changed his number.
Yeah, number, and he's like, I don't want people to know who I am. I was like, yo, your name is LeBron James.
Checking in, right. LeBron James Jr. Hey, bro, who that is?
Right. I was like, come on. Yeah. But yeah. No, I'm happy for what, mm-hmm. for what happened with LeBron.
Absolutely. And I think it, you know, what I, you know, looking at just everything as far as that concerned, you made a great point. I mean, you know, and we talked a little bit, you know, on the last podcast, last episode with Craig Hodges, but you know, athletes that have a lot of money, I feel like they have even more responsibility to be able to do something like this, because, you know, they become even more of a target when they have a lot of money, because I feel like it's one of those issues where successful African Americans are target. They're a regular target, because it's one of those issues. I just feel like, you know, they don't want to see, you know, the success that African Americans have made in society. So whenever you see someone like a LeBron James or like a Colin Kaepernick or even like an Oprah, and they, you know, they constantly are attacked, you know, racially for either their views or just for the color of their skin, I feel like it makes them even more of a target than what they would be. So like you said, I feel like they have even more of, you know, more of a responsibility. And we was talking also, there's also last week with Craig, as far as how today's athlete is becoming more and more and more socially conscious because of the times that we live in, because of the climate that, you know, that we live in, the fact that, you know, more and more and more athletes are following the Colin Kaepernick route, they're following the LeBron James route, they're following the route of those WNBA players last year that wore the Black Lives Matter shirts. So I feel like that overall, the social climate is changing, where athletes are starting to pick up that mantle and realize that, hey, it doesn't matter. Eventually, all people are going to see eventually is black skin, whether you got a dollar or whether you got $1 billion. Eventually, black is still black.
Yeah, and on that, I know y'all see it all the time in comments. It's just crazy how, like, all the athletes, they when they do speak out, like Colin did and whatnot, then you see people be like, well, you need to shut up because you're fortunate and that you have money. And that we've given you this platform. Like, people feel like they've, like, athletes and whatnot have been, they're like lucky, and they should just be.
That's why
black athletes and black people who it's like they should just be lucky they're there. Like, no, they worked for it. Go ahead.
Last year they shouldn't even play the finals.
Say it again.
They shouldn't even play the finals.
Oh, like Craig was saying.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. I looked at the ratings. I think it was like 12.3 ratings. So it's just like, you know. You go up there, you know, just have like a modern day athlete summit. Just have like LeBron, Durant, Curry, you know, just be like
Mello.
Mello, this, you know, CP3.
Why are you laughing when they said Mello?
You know, Westbrook, you know, like this is, you know, this got to stop.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like I applaud LeBron for his, you know, his courage. You know, he definitely. Because, you know, the average person can't just say that, you know, just to.
Because nobody would, yeah, people just wouldn't care.
Yeah. Just like, right. You know, or lose you, you know, say that at your job. You can't, the average person can't say that at your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I applied for him to say that at his job, but, you know, just, I just hate that this is going to get blown over. You know, more people care about game two tomorrow than LeBron. Like, how can we follow this dude? What can we do?
True.
And it's just like, you know, mm-hmm. LeBron's spoken before, you know, just going, you know, verbally and non-verbally, you know, just like with the whole, you know, can't breathe t-shirts. And, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, you know, just keep having them talking over and over again, you know, and it just felt like, you
eventually
know, just,
something's got to, yeah.
And it's like, you know, if he would have never didn't play that game, you know, it get everybody's attention because, you know, they watching those games.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're paying them hundreds and billions and millions of dollars to watch them games, but. You know, apparently this is just gonna be washed over to the next. You know, then it's gonna be another incident.
And like Rashad, that's why I mean I do agree with as far as it's good to leave it up. It was good that it was left up to leave the N word up on his gate like that, or was it the gate or the house, whatever.
Right.
I think that's just to have that. Just leave it up as long as it needs to be left up. I would be just an advocate for that. I don't care because people need to understand. It doesn't matter. Who you are, that it's at the end of the day they view you in the same light. So is it,
and going full circle back to that 60-win Hawks season, you know, the Hawks definitely wouldn't have got swept by Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals if Tabo Cephalosha was there.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you know, the New York police beat Tabo out the season. They beat his leg until he was out for the season.
It
doesn't matter if you're in the NBA or the Zonas A or the NFL. When the police see you, they see you as a black man.
And you see what changed with Tabo.
They see black skin. Because, you know, Pero Antich was arrested that night too, and they didn't do all that to him. If anyone you need to be scared of, it's Pero Antich. Isn't the man with the bald head and tattoos all over his arm. I mean, but, you know, they chose, you know, exactly.
And not to mention,
I didn't know what you were going with that. Yeah.
Not to mention, one of the most high-profile Black Lives Matter cases happened in Cleveland, Tamir Rice.
Yeah, Tamir Rice.
He didn't comment on it.
Well, you know, he said he didn't know enough about it. You can't follow every single one because there's so many.
Right.
That's a sad thing.
There's so many names. You can't follow them all.
That's what. So shout out. We want to Paul LeBron obviously for what he commented on and how he went about it. But like you know, like I like what David's saying. Just going forward, it's not good. It's sadly, but yeah, people are focused on the game more than anything else. And by next week, it would all be a blur, and people will feel like it happened a year ago. Or
people
so.
Will be but remembering we more about Rihanna game one than
there you go. She took over game one. I'm not gonna say that. She did look good game one. Anyway, let's get to the next subject here. We're gonna talk about Rich Homie Quan and how he got found with a little bit of that earth candy in his whip or whatnot. He got pulled over, got stopped. They say he's facing up to 30 years in prison. We're gonna talk about the Georgia. Were y'all aware of the Georgia laws when it comes to like marijuana and whatnot? Were any of us aware? Because I really wasn't. I had to like. Make sure I go research and look it
up. You got to think about, you know, Rich Homie's a convicted felon. So, I mean, anything he's going to do is going to be blown out of proportion when he gets arrested.
What did he get arrested for the first time?
Before he was a rapper, he was, like, breaking and entering. So, armed robbery and all that. Like, those were convictions that he has on his record.
Running up in people's houses and all that.
With guns. Like, that's a couple charges. Like, you ran up in someone's house, that's one charge. You ran up in someone's house with a gun, that's another. So, I mean, you know, any little thing he's going to do is going to be, like, blown out of. Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
Just a disclaimer.
I think the good thing, David, I think you said in the group chat was just about unfair. Jeremy and David, you guys talked about was just, like, how the Georgia laws are just really harsh when it comes to
drug laws nationwide,
but Georgia's one of like the worst and even a lot of worst. Like states have like adapted to the times and have just all they do is assign like fines and whatnot. You got different yet if you know obviously we know Colorado and whatnot,
Washington State
yes,
different counties in Georgia do that, and where they just you just pay a fine.
The one Clarkston, I live 5 minutes from Clarkston. You get pulled over for I guess it's a if it's an ounce or less or whatever, and it's $75 for a fine if you know if, and I think that's much better than the obviously being incarcerated or whatnot, going to jail, whatever, and trying to get bond and all that. It's just a lot of process. But a lot of people feel like these rules are in place because they're targeted at race, at poor people, at young people and whatnot. And they feel like that's the reason why they were put in place, which is, to our point, the whole documentary about the 13th. Mm-hmm. That was really well put together on Netflix. People should look that up. The 13th, which talks about as far as going from slavery to jail system, how it was geared towards constantly monitoring the actions of black people and making sure any act that we did have that was we were severely punished more than any other race in America. But yeah, it's when I saw the whole Rich Homie thing, I saw how many up to years. I was like, I didn't know that it was that harsh here. If it's up to 30, I doubt he'll get 30, obviously. But anywhere between that, I just think it's a little overblown, man.
Get that Mike Scott lawyer.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Mike Scott for getting off of that.
He finessed out of
his
that.
His brother got out of that, too.
Right. So the racial thing. I was like,
wow. Yeah, they said racial. I was like,
it was just crazy because, like, the folks in Georgia and Atlanta, like, them jail cells so packed, folks ain't even got beds. Like, a lot of them people don't even have beds. That's how packed it is in those jail cells. I'm serious. Gosh. So it's like, that's how serious mass incarceration is. How many of our friends, I bet every single one of us had a friend growing up, a black friend that had a father that was in jail.
I did.
So, exactly. So it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible.
I think the other thing that was brought up was they're trying to pass laws that are gonna that will just make each offense a $250 to $750. $750 be the most you pay by your third fine if you get caught with weed, an ounce or less or whatever. So they're trying to pass laws in place now to get it reduced. But medical marijuana, I think in Atlanta and Georgia, period, was like passed 2 years ago or whatnot. So you can, for different, if you have epilepsy or even now autism, it accounts for it. So they'll give you a certain dose of weed, like with low THC or whatever, and they'll give you that if you for those certain diseases. But anything, there's a lot, they're trying to like expand exactly how many people can use it and whatnot. But for me, for just like recreational purposes, that we're way behind, dude. Like just doing the research on, it's constantly happening each year, and it's quietly happening. Different cities around the nation are just like, hey, we're just gonna slap a fine on you, and then that'll be it. Like I just don't see the purpose of. I've never used weed, but I never use weed. I know people who do, and they can't tell. Yeah, it's true. It's people who use weed. I don't see any difference with them between people who don't. Who it's like, as far as maybe the way they're acting, maybe.
They can tax cigarettes, and that's worse.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, I know some people that once they smoke, they don't do nothing for the rest of the day.
Oh man,
I know some people, man. So
you get stuck on that couch, just chilling.
Crownstop's gonna give you a call now. Crownstop will be like, who?
I'm gonna be like, what? That's that wrong number.
Your phone, who this?
No, man.
You want that 50,000 reward?
Oh, man. I ain't snitching. No. But Rich Homie, to his thing, he is kind of reckless, though. Like, I saw something he did on the radio where he was pulling out Percocets.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah, it's my helping go to sleep.
I was like, yo, don't pull out on TV, dude, or whatever, internet. And that's
it's nice to know that Rich Homie is laying low on his drug. He's keeping it on the low.
I don't know what is it with, like, just Atlanta rappers. That at some point, once they get, like, a little forgotten about, then they start really wilding out. And that's like, happens here, dude.
You gonna kick the man while you're down?
No, it happens. People start, but that's wild to do. You don't bring out drugs, dude, on a radio show that's being nationally like you. That to me, I was like, stupid, dude.
That's kind of telling on yourself.
And he hung like this. I was like, yo, what are you doing?
That's telling on yourself.
I mean, sadly, that's the way it'd be relevant because,
everybody's on Percocets.
Drugs, that's what people like hearing music about drugs.
Mask Off is a great song still, though.
I make great music. Then when he like, oh, he got drugs. Let's see what he gonna rap about now.
Future is the most depressed artist, and we just be dancing to his stuff. And like literally, like everything he's talking about is depressing as hell. But
he
sounds
nobody. It too.
Yeah, he sounds really depressed. It's all about drugs, but nobody cares, right?
And Sierra leaving him.
And Sierra,
I was actually happy for him for that. I was happy for him. And look what happened. Russell Wilson lost to us, so it all came back.
Is it possible they love Sierra more in Seattle now than they do in Atlanta? Because everybody
took Future side.
I took Future side. Whose side did you take?
Oh, that's
you took Russell Wilson side, or what? Who took Russell Wilson side? In here?
Okay, all right,
you dig it, I got a problem with you.
I'm gonna say Russell Wilson. That was a W for the nice guys. So. Okay.
The corny guys.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I took Sierra's side. I mean, because I still like Future's music.
Do you like listening to Future more than you like watching Wilson play? That's the comparison. Do you like listening to Future?
I don't care to watch Russell Wilson play. We got Cam Newton in the league.
Okay,
man.
All right.
Oh.
I got Cam Newton money. Remember? Russell
Wilson's not even that good of a quarterback.
Okay, that's.
I mean, I respect. Okay.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. No,
I mean, just
he's
like,
not. I mean, come on, he's not.
Nope. He's not.
Man, Future, the artist. You know, I just keep it like that. But Future's a person. You know, this is awful.
He's a. They say, look,
it's, you don't respect women.
It's the same thing like T.I. Like, Future's, we love T.I., but T.I. is a, you see how the way
he's
been treated.
I was watching the end of
That's wild. Tiny,
I was watching that, like, literally last night when I got home. And I was like, yo, this man is violent.
He told her straight up that you're a distraction.
He said, you're holding me back from my greatness. I was like, bro, you fell off like 5 years ago.
You're holding
like,
me back.
Like, I was like, you're a solidified legend in the game. Like, this music that you're doing now is just for you because pretty no one much. Else is really checking for T.I.'s music.
That's another thing. He's acting like he's getting away with what?
That's what I'm like, he's literally just wants to be single again. That's all it is.
I was like, dude, you got like 6 kids. And this girl held you down when you went to prison. That's rare to me.
True.
Did she get caught? Remember they got caught in L.A. with...
With the drugs.
And
I think she took the charge for him.
She probably did. True, yeah, she done everything.
That's a rarity. You know how these girls are. So I mean,
shout out to Tiny on that, man.
He bought her a car, too. On
what,
episode.
After that?
No, like he went on that when he said she was a distraction. And then she was mad, so he visited her at the house, and he brought her a new car, bro. And I was like, wait, what? He just bought a car like that? Like, that's how you say sorry?
That's just sad.
I guess
that's
messed up. If we had money, would we do? I don't know.
Tiny was like, I mean, I'm going to accept the gift. This is a nice car, but all the flashy things, like, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't impress me anymore. And I was like, dang, like, that's a crazy lifestyle. Yeah,
it's just sad the institution of marriage in the black community is gone.
We don't care about, look, I'm not looking forward to get, look, here's the thing. I told my mama the same thing. Marriage has just, the whole idea of it, I don't care that much. Each year, it just seems like, I know, look, if it happens, it happens, but I'm not like, everything's not just thrown in the basket, like, I have to get married. I just don't care. If it happens, it happens.
No,
but you just start going. I'm just saying. Anybody else, who in here
Lobo
cares about marriage like they did when they were like 10-year-old? Like compare yourself now to when you were like 10 or something or 15.
I would like to have a family one day.
But do you want to get married? That's a different thing.
Yeah, with a family. I would need to have kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be married with no kids. Like,
What about y'all just living it all in the house together, but you ain't legally married?
No. My mom ain't having that.
I love how we still.
I don't do the
Rashad. This is foolishness.
I don't do the baby mama, baby daddy thing. It's just too much going on.
It's too much going on.
Baby mama can go.
I'm just saying, if y'all look, the marriage happens, the divorce happens. You know, y'all know how it is. You're losing everything. I'm just saying, the money. You're gonna lose your money. And I don't know if y'all care about your money.
Get a
prenup.
That's why people our age aren't getting married at the rate they used to back in the day.
What? Because of, divorce rates are like 50%.
Marriage is expensive, man.
Thank you. That's why people our age are not getting married anymore. And the divorce rates.
Well, that's a weak excuse.
What do you mean, the divorce thing?
No. It's like the money.
I mean, back then, you know, it was, you know, traditional. Like, it was like old school. Like, the man making all the money and the woman didn't have nothing. So, of course, she stuck with him. You know, you know, he cheated on her like 10 million times.
A lot of y'all pops was listening and grandpas was back there in the day doing their thing.
Everybody just loves to be single.
And now, you know, women making their own money, and now they can be more selective in their spouses.
Yeah.
They
got more power now.
Right.
They don't have to just hinge on us. So it's like it's a whole different thing. I was thinking about Carmelo and the 3-point shot. I was like, wait, what? 3? Shout out to Chris. If it happens, it happens. At the end of the day, if you care that much about marriage, I get it. It could be a religious thing, but I've
seen so many guys like, you know what happened to them? They get married very soon.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You mean you said too soon?
No, I was saying they get married very soon.
Oh, very soon. Yeah.
So you next.
No, wait, what? No, wait.
The biggest players.
Hey, don't.
Don't do that.
We ain't gonna prophesy that over.
Look.
Do we sometimes think about marriage because sometimes we see our peers get married?
I
literally, I would just love to have a family one day. I think it would be like cool to have a family.
I think it's one of those things. I'll be the best dad in this room. Think about it. Because we see our kids get married.
I like being in a family, so it'll be nice to have my own family. I can see you being a good dad, though.
I don't know if you created some kids. Are you going
to
whoop your kids, though?
Nah.
I can see. See, Rashad, that's, we got to talk about that.
You know, I didn't get whooped.
What?
Not really. I mean, you know, a couple times, but like you know what I'm saying.
Rashad,
like,
you got hit a couple.
Man,
you all got
it's
hit.
Like, it's like,
I ain't hiding it. In fact, I can probably remember exactly how that happened.
I ain't hiding it, dog.
Oh man, look.
The key, and look, it all paid off. You get smacked a couple times, you know what I mean, and it's all good. Now you're straight. Look, let's wrap this episode up before we go any further. Yo, Keith is crazy. Oh, yeah. A-League, man, we appreciate y'all listening again for all the support we've been getting this week and the
last
couple
weeks. Shout out to Dash Radio. We know y'all listening right now. Shout out to Dash.
Shout out to Dash. Hawks Talk. Can we give them a quick shout?
Oh yeah. Shout out to Hawks Talk. They got a new podcast, and they shouted us out last week.
Yeah, love,
I'm
man.
On it as well, ironically.
This boy getting two checks. But so we shout out to Hawks Talk. Everybody giving the support for our podcast. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Yeboah NBA is my Twitter. Check us out on A-League 1, at A-League 1. Hit us up. Comments on the show. What do you want to hear? Blah, blah, blah. Suggestions. We want to hear it all. You.
RashadMilligan.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TheRealChameleonaire.
Darren Norton the second. And hey, Akeem, you know, you're more welcome talking to defects about your little past issues.
I just want to hear more about what Rashad was thinking about those Simone Manuel Instagram photos.
Simone Manuel, that's another thing. Simone Manuel, hit us up at the A-League 1. Rashad Milligan is here. He did a great interview with you. Simone, what's happening, man? You know, just stop. You know, stop being so mean.
Speaking of racism, under one of her videos, it was like blacks, and then someone was like, "What?" And then they were like, "There's blacks in this video." And I was like,
"Wow!"
I was like, "Dang, man!" Like, so no one's exempt from racism.
Nobody.
Nobody at all. Akeem Balaam, AKIEMBAILUM, Twitter, Gram, BeyondTheW.com. Check it out.
peace. He said, "You know, I know."
Take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. The plug sent the good, so I had to flood the hood. The plug sent the bad and I offed that too. That made me a bigger asset to the plug. But tell me how you feel.